Hi, everybody. I'm Gus Johnson along with the governor.
He says he got all his jeans from his mom. Woo. From his mom. Woo. A lot of nylon.
A lot of excitement in the air.
Yes.
And we're ready for college basketball. College basketball.
Oh, oh.
Gus.
Oh,
he's got onions.
Gus,
he's got onions.
Oh, oh.
Rise and fire.
Sets up the big fella to light it up. Yes, he's got onions.
Okay, Big East Barroom fans, we are now hoping to make this a tradition. We are joined by two-time Big East Player of the Year, national champion, and current Denver Nuggets guard, Colin Gillespie. Colin, thank you so much for coming on for the second straight year. None of us remember how good your bracket was last year, so we're just going to take it from scratch.
Yeah, appreciate you guys having me on. I don't remember who I chose last year. I don't think it was great, but it normally happens that way where it's not too good anyway, so we'll see how I do this year.
Yeah, if you manage to pick a perfect bracket, you should change professions because there's a lot of money in that. But no, we really appreciate you making time for us in the NBA schedule. We're going to do the bracket with you. But before we do that, we want to talk a little bit about the Big East, address the elephant in the room and the way the Big East was treated by this NCAA tournament committee. I know we've talked a little bit about it and you kind of agree with us. What did you think of the way they were treated?
I mean, I thought it was bullshit. I mean, I thought they got hosed. I thought at least five should have got in. And you could have made a case for six, but I'm not really sure what goes into it or how they decide. I think it's fluctuates every year with how the committee decides. But yeah, I thought there should have been at least five, maybe six. You could have made a case for six to get in, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know what we'll have to do moving forward. Seton Hall had 13 Big East wins, beat Marquette, beat UConn. So they had some really big wins. St. John's had some really big wins. And then Providence obviously had like six or seven quad one wins and then played really well down the stretch. So I don't know what they're watching or if they're watching, but it's tough. Stuff for the Big East and for those schools.
Colin, who's got the biggest gripe in your opinion? Which school are you would be the most mad?
Oh man, see, I don't know all the analytics or the net and KenPom and stuff like that. But I think you can make a case for all of them, honestly. And they said who was the furthest off? Providence.
Yeah, because Seton Hall was one of the first four out.
So was St. John's, I mean, right?
Yeah, St. John's wasn't even one of the first four out.
Well, they weren't.
No, they weren't even the first four out. And then, you didn't even see St. John's or Providence in that graphic when they were showing it.
Well, Providence was a three seed in the NIT, and I think St. John's was a two.
They declined the invite. Villanova was a one seed, so was Villanova closer than Seton Hall and St. John's?
Yeah, that's where it just doesn't – I mean, it doesn't make much sense. Like, when you – Providence had – like, Kim English was just talking about it. Like, at this point, why don't you just schedule a bunch of bad teams at the beginning of the year and just start beating them by 30 and 40? Yeah. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, what you're saying is your quad – like, Michigan State, 19 and 14, didn't have many quad one wins. Virginia – I don't know what they did in non-conference this year. I don't think it was much. And they didn't play well in the ACC or have many big wins in the ACC. FAU got an eight seed somehow. Doesn't make any sense. But I don't know. You can't even, like, you just feel bad for the teams that didn't get in, who probably should have got in. Not going to get to experience it. But, yeah, we'll see if it changes in the future. Hopefully it does.
I got one more question before we move over to the bracket. When you were playing in the Big East, did you ever feel you were disfavored at all going into the NCAA tournament? Did you ever feel you were moved down seed lines or notice that? Or do you think it's something new?
To be honest, I don't really – like our first year I knew – or my first year I knew we were getting a one seed. We had lost four games. We had won the Big East tournament. We won – or we might have came in second in the regular season, but we had won the Big East tournament. and we had four losses on the year. So I knew we were going to get a one seed. I think our second year was like the year where it was a little bit iffy. I think we were a six seed, but we had still won the Big East tournament. So I knew we were getting in. I just didn't know at what seed. I knew it was probably around like a four to a six, but I never really paid attention to like where they put us at on the seed line. But for me, I think it was just we went into the Big East tournament trying to win, like, so we wouldn't have to worry about where we were put. And we just knew that we were in and we were getting a chance to play again.
Makes sense. Well, it's unfortunate that it started this year, but Ackerman and the whole upper management will have to figure this out because you can't have this happen every year.
Yeah, I was shocked that only three teams got in.
Well, we're here to talk about some of the teams that did get in. And while we would have liked this to be a more Big East heavy show, let's go through some of the matchups with Colin, because this is one of my first full looks at the bracket. I know you said you looked at it a little, so let's see how you do. Let's play the lottery a little here.
Yeah. Obviously I had UConn is gonna win that game. They've been the best team all year, so I don't see them losing or having a tough time against a 16 seed. This is a weird game. Like, I think part of me thinks FAU is in because of what they did last year. And I got to see a little bit of them this year. I watched the game where they played Arizona and won, but then I also saw them lose to Temple the other day, who has been awful, but played really well this at the end of the year here in their
Yeah.
tournament. But I also know Northwestern has really good guard play, so I think Northwestern is going to end up winning the game and playing UConn. I think San Diego State's going to win, have a lot of experience back from last year, and I think Auburn wins as well. It could be a trap game, though, if they don't come in and play up to standard. Obviously, coming off of did Yale won their conference too, right?
Yeah, they went on a buzzer beater against Brown. They were down like seven with a minute to go, and then they crazy run at the end.
Yeah, I think it could be a trap game for Auburn coming off of the SEC championship, but I think they get by. I don't know too much about BYU or Duquesne. My gut would say BYU is going to win. I think Duquesne was a bid stealer, right?
Yeah, they snuck in the
With
eight.
Dayton. Dayton was the at-large out of the A-10, and Duquesne got the tournament championship.
Yeah. I think BYU will win, and I think Illinois will win the game against Morehead State. I had Drake beating Washington State. I think that'll probably be one of the picks that a lot of people make is in a 10-7 game, and then Iowa State beating South Dakota State.
Now, I want to talk about one of the first games in that bracket. Boo Booey is playing for Northwestern.
Yes.
The best player probably on the court for that Northwestern FAU game. Is that why you went with them over FAU?
Yeah. I mean, I've seen he's been there for a while. I don't know if he's a fourth or fifth year guy.
Think fifth year guy. Where did he
Yeah.
start at?
He's been awesome in the Big Ten for the last 4 or 5 years, and they've every big time game they've won, he's had a big game. So, and I don't know if he's made the tournament, in previous years. I don't keep tabs on Northwestern like that, but if this is his first time playing a tournament, I expect him to do pretty well. 5 years, yeah. So fifth year guy, obviously FAU has good guard play, but they've been super inconsistent up and down all year, so I think Northwestern plays in a pretty decent conference, and they play against good competition. I think they'll be all right with good guard play.
I'm with you on that one.
All right, let's move down to the West region. A lot of people call this the most chaotic region. Some people are questioning some of the teams that are in this side of the bracket. So let's hear your thoughts on
Yeah. No, definitely. I could see why some people are saying that. I have Carolina winning early. And this is an interesting game because I've seen a little bit of Mississippi State this year. Talented, super up and down. And then Michigan State, who I don't really know how got in, probably Izzo. Maybe it's his last year. I don't really know how that happened, but I have Michigan State winning. purely comes down to coaching. I think Izzo will have them ready, and they have older, experienced guys who have done it before, so I wouldn't be surprised if they made a run right now. And then this one's interesting. I haven't seen much of St. Mary's, and I don't like their conference. I just don't think it's a good conference besides three teams, maybe. Gonzaga is normally re really good, but they've been hit or miss this year. St. Mary's, I haven't seen much on them. And then who's the other team that's normally decent in that conference?
Isn't that Gonzaga, St. Mary's, and Sam? One of the other
Clara's
ones.
out there. They go to the NIT every now and
Santa
then.
Clara's had some good teams. San Francisco's had some good teams, but it was just a weird year for their conference. So I would take Grand Canyon in an upset. And then this is one that everybody's been talking about. I haven't seen much of the team, but they said they score a ton of points, both of them.
Alabama.
I think Alabama's size and athleticism will probably beat Charleston. Haven't seen much of either of those teams. This is another weird one. New Mexico, I think. Were they a bid stealer too?
They had them. Most people had them on the right side of the bubble. Then they won their conference tournament, so now they're the 11 seed. So people are saying, well, they probably weren't in if they so I guess technically a bit so, but they were a bubble team if they didn't win their conference.
Yeah, it's so weird because then Nevada's in their conference, right?
Yeah.
Not West. They're a 10 seeds. I mean, it's just weird, but I think Clemson's got a good team. They got older guys, so I would take Clemson there. Baylor, Colgate, another potential upset, but I would take Baylor. Although they're younger, I don't know how far that'll get them. Don't know too much about Dayton or Nevada, but I'll take Nevada. And then Arizona will probably beat Long Beach State, which
Although
is crazy. They fired their coach 5 days ago and he just won his tournament. So, which that is crazy.
do you think he walks into the office every day with like middle fingers blazing, like I know, like I don't, you shouldn't have fired me, I'm still here.
At this point, he's probably just like, fuck it. Let's just win as much as we can.
Colin, it looks like you're picking it against some conferences in this bracket. Like, what are your thoughts on some of the mid-majors? Looks like WCC and maybe Mountain West you picked against a little bit. Obviously, you played some of those teams in tournaments. What were your thoughts on those? How the conferences compare to one another?
I think St. Mary's is solid. They're well coached. We played them in a tournament 1 year in a 6-11 game my sophomore year. They were really good, well coached. I don't know. I just think whenever Gonzaga is just like not, I mean, this is a down year and they're a five seed, right? I just don't have a lot of belief in them to kind of get by this year, their conference. As bad as that sounds, I just don't see it. And it's an upset. 5-12 is always kind of a trap game for some teams. So I could see it happening there, especially with these teams. I think they're playing Grand Canyon. Yeah, Grand Canyon's solid. I've watched a little bit of them. I have some friends on my team here with the Nuggets that have friends on Grand Canyon, and they've been solid this year. And then the Mountain West, I saw some of their games this year. I saw some of the scores, and it was a weird conference to me. So I don't really know how much I believe that, like New Mexico, I don't see them beating Clemson.
You have Michigan State winning. So does that, if Michigan State wins a game, does that validate them being in the tournament at all to you? Or is it just like, no, we knew you were good, you just had a shitty season. You can't go 19 and 14 in the season.
Yeah, I mean they had really high expectations, right? Going into the year, top five team in the country, coming off of Sweet 16 or Elite Eight. They lost in the Elite Eight to Kansas State last year, I think, and then brought basically everybody back, with one of the best coaches in the country. So I don't think it validates them, at all. I think it just goes to show that if you get in, good things can happen. You could have a favorable matchup. They have one of the best coaches in the country. They have an experienced backcourt with experienced guys also in the front court who have been there for 4 and 5 years. So I think this is just kind of it'll be a fresh start for them. They're playing with probably house money now because people are probably sitting there shitting on them, which is valid in some points. And then some points they're probably just like, all right, let's go play and see what we can do. And it wouldn't shock me if they won two or three games and got to another Sweet 16 or Elite Eight with the coach that they have and the experience that they have.
You played a pretty similar situation your last year, Michigan. A lot of people didn't believe Michigan with Hunter Dickinson should have been in the tournament. They end up, I believe you met them in the Sweet 16. Is that right?
Yeah, we played them in the Sweet 16. I think we ended up winning by like 6 or 10, maybe. And obviously, like they're ex like they had experience. Hunter was a great player. Eli Brooks was there. They had Devontae Jones, who was a fifth-year transfer. So they had a lot of guys that have played in big games before, and it just shows you that anything can happen. I think they were an 11 seed. I think they had beat Tennessee, who was supposed to be really good that year. It just depends on your matchups. It depends on who you get in the tournament. If another team in your bracket gets upset, so anything could really happen now at this point.
All right, let's move over to the South region. And I know you're partial to this team, the number one team over here. You've had really positive things to say about them.
Yeah, Houston is really, really good. They're well coached. They're really physical. They defend at a high level. And they're like this year in and year out. I played against them in the Elite Eight my last year. Yeah, I mean, they compete. Jamal Shedd was probably a sophomore the year I was there, and he was in my shit the whole game. So I know that their coach is going to have them ready. They just got blown out, so I wouldn't be shocked if they come back and play really well down here, down the stretch here. So I think they'll do well this tournament and probably be right back where they normally are in the Sweet 16, Elite Eight area with a chance to get to the Final Four. This game is really interesting. It's probably a pick 'em. Texas A&M's been really good this year. The kid Wade Taylor is a really good player, can carry a team. Nebraska's got some really good players. They just made a little run in the Big Ten tournament. I think they were a three seed in the Big Ten this year, which is kind of not normally like Nebraska. So I think it's going to be a really interesting game, but I think Texas A&M will win, with experience, with size, with athleticism. So it'll be a fun game to watch, but I think Texas A&M will come away with a win there. This is another really interesting game. This bracket is really, really fun to me. I think JMU is going to win. Marquette or Wisconsin played really well in their Big Ten tournament, but James Madison, I think they already have 30 wins this year. Went into Michigan State earlier in the year, beat them pretty well. And they've been in other games with, I don't know, did they beat Virginia this year?
I think
Yeah.
you're thinking of James Madison. Didn't they beat Virginia in the NCAA tournament last year?
Possibly, I forget, but they've been playing really well this whole year. I think they're 30-3 right now. And that's t it's this is a matchup that a lot of people have talked about as an upset, because of how well JMU plays. I think they're experienced, they're older. Wisconsin is as well. It's just depends on the matchup and what happens on that day. So I think anything could happen in this game. And the same thing for Duke of Vermont. I have Duke winning, but I think if it's not Wisconsin, like if JMU beats Wisconsin, then I think Duke will play them. I think if Wisconsin beats JMU, then Vermont could upset Duke. I think that little bracket of four teams is going to be really interesting to see who kind of wins those games. But this game will be fun too. I think NC State's going to win. I like how they're playing right now. 5 and 5 days. The big kid is really good, DJ Burns. He was really good. The COVID year that we played Winthrop, he was on that team. So I've been able to see him then, and he's gotten a lot better since. So,
They played a really great game against Creighton. Was it in the round of
last.
32?
Yeah, they couldn't stop Cockburner. I think Cockburner had like 32 points in that game.
But
Yeah.
DJ Jones was great in that game also.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's been really good the last couple of years, so, and he's got experience in the NCAA tournament. He's an older guy. I think they'll win that game. And then I think Kentucky beats Oakland. Kentucky is probably one of the teams that a lot of people are excited to watch. They're just fun to watch with the freshmen that they have. Antonio Reeves has been a stud all year. Obviously, you got Reed Sheppard, Rob Dillingham, and then the rest of the freshman class, which has been really fun to watch this year. They don't stop a lot of people, but they score a lot of points. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. And
Kind of a
then
problem. What are your
Florida.
thoughts on Reed Sheppard? A lot of people are projecting him as a top 10 pick in the NBA. Obviously, you're around NBA players all the time. You think that's a good projection for him?
Yeah, I mean, the way he's playing, I mean, you don't go to Kentucky and then do what he's doing and not get picked high in the draft. He's arguably a top two or three player on that team. And he's won them some games, and he's just super, super solid. Whenever you look at a box score, he's super efficient, and finds ways to affect winning, in my opinion, whether it's scoring, whether it's getting guys shots, rebounding, steals, blocks. He's been really good on the defensive end, which kind of separates him, I think, for a guy his size. So, and he's really athletic for his size too. So, I mean, I think he's really solid and seems like a worker. So, I think he'll be fun.
Florida versus the winner of Boise State and Colorado.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are talking about Boise and them not getting or having to play in a first four game. I don't really know who will win. I've seen a little bit of Colorado this year. Obviously, they have some good players. I haven't seen much of Boise, but I think Florida will win. They have really good guard play. Tyree Samuels there. He's been an older guy, experienced guy from Seton Hall, so I think they'll win. They lost. Did they lost? Losing the SEC championship
They lost to Auburn yesterday in the final.
final, right? Yeah. So I mean, they're playing good basketball right now, and I think they'll win that game. And then obviously I have Marquette winning. I don't see them having trouble, especially getting Tyler back.
Well, yeah, we'll ask you some more questions when Marquette plays, as we move down the line here.
I have these Big East teams going far, so there's
Hey,
plenty to talk about.
if you're picking blindly, what conferences do you like the most in March Madness?
Probably the Big 12. I wouldn't put them first. Obviously, I think the Big East this year I would pick, and then I would go probably Big 12, SEC, Big 10.
Are you down on a Big Ten?
No, I'm not down. It's just I don't think that I think they play well throughout the tournament, but I don't see Big Ten teams winning unless maybe it's Purdue's year with Edie, but they haven't won in a long time. I don't think.
No, it's I think Michigan State had the last one, 2000,
Which was
2001.
over 10 years ago, right?
Oh, easily.
That South Conference, Colin, has Kentucky and Duke. Overall question about college basketball. Can you win the way that they're trying to do things where I mean, I know Duke has less freshmen than they normally have, but man, it
Yeah.
feels like I think Jay Wright had the quote, get old, stay old. I mean, these players, I mean, you just don't see these young teams winning anymore. You see them fading out in the conference. You think you can win with these guys?
With Kentucky, I can see it with their guard play. Their young guards don't play like freshmen. But yeah, I mean, I think it's true now. You gotta get old and you gotta stay old for sure. I think the last Like UConn won last year, older team. The year before it was Kansas, older team. The year before that it was Baylor, three seniors who were studs. I think the year before that was COVID. 2019 was Virginia, who had three studs who were older guys who had lost the year before. The year before that was us, which was four or five older guys. Actually, we had like six juniors and seniors on that team. And then the year before that was Carolina with a bunch of old guys. Nova the year before that was a bunch of old guys. So last time you could really see it was that Duke team in 2015, which had a bunch of grown men as freshmen. It was like Justice Winslow, Okafor, Tyus Jones, Grayson Allen barely played, but then played really well in the Final Four. And then the year like earlier before that was Kentucky with like Anthony Davis, Kid Gilchrist, and those guys who were younger, but like I said, grown men. I think it's just different now. Like it's a different age of basketball. Like when you think about those guys, there's nobody that's a freshman that's coming in that's like that anymore, if that makes any sense. So I definitely think you have to be older and have experience to kind of win these kinds of games. Playing, it's 6 games in 4 weeks. So
Colin, I'm glad you're showing off for the listeners what a hoop head you are, what a college basketball historian you are. You amaze me all the time with the knowledge you have. I mean, when you just rattle off the last 8 winners off the top of your head, a lot of respect for your ball knowledge.
Yeah, brother, this is what I do. I watch basketball, and this is my life. I watch a ton of hoops.
That's awesome. You want to move over to Midwest region? We're starting with Purdue.
Yeah, I mean, I pray that they get through the first round this year. That would be brutal if they didn't. Another game that's interesting. I like TCU here. I like their coach. Good guard play. I like Jameer Nelson's son. I played against him when he was at Delaware. Super shifty, athletic. I think he's gotten a lot better. So I think they'll win that game. Again, in my other brackets, I picked against Gonzaga because McNeese State, I love Will Wade, although he's done a lot of sketchy shit. I like he wins everywhere he goes, which is kind of awesome. So I picked McNeese State.
You're picking McNeese State over Gonzaga?
Yeah, I have them winning over Gonzaga, which I think that's it for the WCC, right? It's just St. Mary's and Gonzaga. I think they both get upset. I have Kansas winning. I think they'll be better. I think they'll be more prepared going into the tournament. Self is obviously an unbelievable coach. I think McCullough will be healthy. I think Hunter's obviously going to play. Hopefully they can get their guys back, and I think they'll be fine going into the tournament. This one's another interesting one. South Carolina's been solid this year, kind of the surprising team in the SEC to a lot of people. And then Oregon, Bid Steeler, haven't seen much of them, but I know they have really good freshman guard play. And I've been back and forth on this a lot, but I would take South Carolina just off of purely guessing. And then obviously I'd take Creighton here. I think the Big East is going to do really well in the tournament this year. Obviously, I think their resume speaks for themselves. They have great play across the board. So another crazy one. I can't believe UVA's in. You guys see the video of them finding out?
No. What did they act surprised?
Oh, brother, they were ecstatic. They definitely had they thought they had no chance of getting in. It was one of the funnier videos. They posted it on Twitter, and somebody sent it to me. I was like, these motherfuckers definitely thought they were in the NIT.
They were just happy with whatever they had at that moment.
Yeah, I think so. But okay. CSU, they have good guard play. The kid Isaiah Stevens is really good. And I've seen a little bit of them this year, so I think they're going to beat UVA in the first game. But I don't know. I don't think they get past Texas. So I would pick Texas over either of those teams with the experience that they kind of have. It's kind of been a down year for them, though. Texas with Tyrese Hunter and Max Abesmas from Oral Roberts. They were supposed to be better this year. And then I think Dylan Mitchell went back, right, to school. I think he's still at school.
UConn played him earlier this season.
Everybody thought he – I mean, he was – I think yeah, he was
– Dylan Mitchell played just 5 days ago, 13 points in a loss to Kansas State.
Yeah, I mean, he was supposed to be. People were thinking about him leaving after last year, so I think it was a little bit of a down year for them. So I wouldn't be shocked if they made a little run here, but I think they get by either Virginia or Colorado State, and then I have Tennessee beating St. Peter's.
Overall question again about this bracket. South Carolina overperformed expectations. Texas underperformed expectations. Who's it easier for turning it on March? The team that's kind of been playing above their head this year, or the team that might have the talent?
Team with talent, I think Texas for sure. Especially having guys that have played. I don't know when the last time South Carolina was really good, other than this year. I don't think they've been in any NCAA tournaments recently. Maybe the last one was with in 2017. I forget, but they were good and they went to the Final Four in 2017. But I think Texas can turn it on, obviously with a guy who's been there, with the little guard that transferred, and then Tyrese Hunter was there for a little while. They were there last year. Dylan Mitchell played, and then the kid Dylan Dessou. I don't know if he's healthy or not yet, but he's been kind of in and out all year. So if they get him back, I think they could put it together. And obviously their coach is a pretty good coach. So I think I would lean Texas more than South Carolina.
We had Kansas in this bracket. Obviously, you guys ran into Kansas in the Final Four, your last college game of your career. Some people believe Bill Self is the greatest active college coach. What are your thoughts and what makes him special?
Greatest active coach. I mean, with the resume he has, it's what does he have, two titles now?
Your natties.
2008 and 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean he's this is his down year and he's a four seed. So that should tell you a lot about what he's done at Kansas. I think their record was like 14 straight regular season or conference titles. It was one of the two. But yeah, he's been insane kind of in the Big 12 play for the last 15 years. So definitely his resume stacks up against a lot of other coaches, and he's been unbelievable. And I got a lot of respect for their program. They kind of win at a high level every year. So there's not a lot bad that you could say about Kansas and about what they've done in recently and in every NCAA tournament and every Big 12 championship tournament regular season. So he's been awesome his whole coaching career kind of at Kansas.
All right. Now we want to finish out the regions, so instead of going straight through, so we're gonna go to East and see where we end up.
UConn, pretty self-explanatory. This one's interesting. San Diego State's got a lot of guys back from last year that made a championship run. I think Auburn will beat them and play UConn, and then I think Illinois will win and Iowa State will win.
It went chalk in the East region.
Yep. Yes, sir. We were talking about this the other day about who can beat UConn realistically. It's got to be a team that defensively is really good, can score points, and is super physical and athletic. Auburn is a little bit of that. They have good guard play, they have some experience, they have a good coach. I just don't think that they can beat UConn. I think UConn's depth has been really impressive all year. Newton's been outstanding. Cam Spencer's been incredible. Caravan plays way better in non-conference for some reason. Klingon played really well the other day. Who else? DR has been awesome all year. And then the freshman stepped up the other day in the Big East Championship, which was really cool to see. Some impressive stuff. And I don't see them losing that early in the tournament. And then this game, I would say Illinois, just because of the guys that they have. Doe Mask has been really good all year, and then Terrence Shannon averaged like 35 a game in the Big Ten tournament and was pretty incredible all year. UConn, I don't see anybody really beating them in the East region. Maybe Iowa State if they're playing really well, but I don't think Illinois beats them.
You played against Hurley for years. Did you see this coming at all, that he was going to go on this kind of run once you left the conference? I mean, his last 12 months have been as good as any coaching 12 months as, I mean, we've seen in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, did I see this coming? No. Did I know they were going to be good? Yes. Like, winning, like, did I think they could win a national championship if they got the right guys? Obviously, the historic program that they are. Hurley was an awesome coach at Rhode Island. I followed them a lot because I had a friend from back home that I used to play against a lot growing up in high school that was played for him. And he always had really good teams at Rhode Island, so it didn't shock me. And then we had beaten them at Villanova, and that quote came out about the like, you better get us now because we're coming. And I was like, this fucking guy, I was like, is he fucking serious right now? Like, before he gets back in the Big East, he's saying this shit. And then like they were good when Book Knight was there. When I think RJ was on that team, Tyrese was on that team, and then the year after Book Knight left was kind of when they were kind of really starting to like find their culture, find their identity. Whaley was still there. Sanogo was older. RJ had his was in his second year. Tyrese was in his second year, and they had gotten to we had beaten them in the semis of the Big East my last year, and then, or Andre was there too, who had gotten just light years better from my last year to his last year when they won the national championship. So did I see the national championship, Big East regular season, Big East tournament all in a row? No, but does it shock me with how good of a coach he is? Not at all.
Follow-up
So
question. Have you ever seen a coach more opposite of Jay Wright? I mean, to me, they just look as different as could be.
they're polar opposites, but they're the same mentally, like behind, both competitive, both as competitive as they come. And he does it like in front of others, he does it way different than Coach Wright. But behind closed doors, like the shit that you see Coach Hurley doing, you'll probably see like Coach Wright, they're all the same way. They're all a little thrown off a little bit. They're all a little tweaked off a little bit, but that's what makes them really good. Like, you have to have that a little bit, and he's able to get guys to buy in, and they've just been really, really good for the last 2 years, and they probably will be for the next five, six, seven. Does it, who knows? I mean, you can't, like, this dude's talking shit and he's backing it up, so like you got to respect it at some point. So
All right. What are we looking at round, Rye? We're in the West.
Yes, sir.
West,
Blue
God,
Bloods.
Michigan State.
Ooh.
Wow.
I mean, as much as I don't think they should be in, I think they have the guys that can make a run. Tyson Walker is awesome. AJ Hogard, I grew up playing against, so he's as tough as they come. Malik Hall's been there for X amount of years. They have good freshmen. I think the one thing that they need to figure out is their big man situation. The one kid's been there for 4 years, and I think he hasn't played up to how Izzo probably wants him to play. But if they can find a big that can play consistently for them, I definitely think they could beat North Carolina. Top five team going into the year, so it would not surprise me if they got past them, and I think they have what it takes to get there. A lot of people are picking Grand Canyon. I think Alabama's offense is too much, personally. They have some experience as well. Mark Sears was there for a while. Grant Nelson's a good player. Kid Estrada from Hofstra is really good. So I think they'll move on. And then I have Clemson beating Baylor. I think experience, Joe Girard, PJ Hall is really good. Jack Clark is really solid. And then they have another guy who's another two guys that's been really good this year for them. And then I have Arizona beating Nevada.
Now you're playing with some a very famous Clemson alum over with the Nuggets, aren't you?
Yeah, Hunter Tyson's here, so I've gotten to see them a little bit throughout the year. Obviously, he's always talking them up, and I just tell him how shitty the ACC is. And every year they're just like, we're always in the Final Four of the tournament. And I'm just like, brother, you guys have one of the weakest conferences in basketball.
You're doing the Lord's work out there.
I shit on everybody's conference besides the Big 12, because the Big 12 is really, really good every year, and they have like 7 or 8 top 25 teams at a time.
No, we'll take that. We'll take second. That's all right. There's only 11 of us.
Oh, yeah, but if we are the best team in basketball right now, so we'll take that second. We'll take second best conference. Michigan State and Arizona, I think they've been in the Elite Eight. And then I think I have Arizona going to the Final Four.
Did you ever have the chance to play against Caleb Love? You never matched up with him at UNC?
I did not. We scrimmaged them when Cole Anthony was there.
Okay. You've watched him, though. What are your thoughts on him and the way he's been able to really, I mean, not turn around his career, because his career wasn't terrible at UNC, but he's become Pac-12 Player of the Year.
Yeah, I think the situation with him leaving North Carolina was a little weird. But yeah, I think he's done great for himself. Fresh start. He's playing a lot better in terms of just like being more efficient, taking better shots. And obviously it's hard when you have coming off of a Final Four year where you get to the national championship and you're this close to winning a national championship, then you come back to Carolina the next year with the same kind of guys, and you guys don't make the NCAA tournament. You're not really efficient. You guys don't play well. So I think it was a good fresh start for him and for Carolina, but it would have been cool to see Carolina. It will be cool to see Carolina and Arizona meet up. I just think Michigan State might get Carolina in the second round in a 1-9 game.
Now, Colin, I have a gripe. You came on the show last year and you told me that the Pac-12 sucked. And I've been walking around all year saying the Pac-12 sucks. And now I have to hear you pick a Pac-12 team to the Final Four. I'm not sure what to do with this information.
Well, the Pac-12 isn't good. It's just not.
Thank God.
It's not. But like I said, the NCAA tournament, anything could happen. A team could get hot at the right time and they could win. They could rattle off 4 or 5 games. And I think Arizona lost early in the Pac-12 tournament, has the guys to do it. I think the kid Balo is still there, the center, right? They've had good guard play. Larson's still there, who's an older guy, who's experienced, played well throughout his career. Caleb Love's been there before. I think Kylan Boswell's their point guard. And he's gotten a lot better. So I think they have the guys to do it. Tommy Lloyd's a really good coach. It just depends on matchups and who they get. But I like them getting back to Arizona, playing at home, seeing UConn in the Final Four.
Love it. All right, we'll move over to the South, and we're back with two Texas teams here to start it off.
I'm pretty sure somebody said they played earlier in the year. I think Houston wins. I think they're going to get hot at the right time and play a good brand of basketball. I think Duke beats James Madison. This is another chalk because Kentucky's going to beat NC State and Marquette's going to beat Florida, which is probably the game I'm most intrigued about. I think Houston's going to win that Duke game. And then, matter of fact, what is – I don't know what the health status is of the kid Roberts from Houston. It wouldn't surprise me if Duke got to the Elite Eight. but I'm going to stick with Houston.
Okay.
Houston did play Texas A&M at the beginning of the year. They won 70-66. I'm trying to find Jawan Roberts' injury at Bruce Shin. I'm not a doctor, but I don't know how a Bruce Jawan, Shin.
There's no way that their coach will let him sit out with a Bruce Shin.
On the second weekend?
No, no shot. They're a tough team, too. I think they get there. This is the game I'm most excited to see because if it weren't Marquette, I'd have Kentucky going through, but I think Marquette's going to win. I loved how they played in the Big East tournament. I loved how Shaka Smart was the only coach to not say anything about how they didn't have a chance against UConn. And they just played really well defensively. They played decent offensively without Kolick, who obviously changes the entirety of their offense when he plays. So I think Marquette and Houston will be a really good matchup in the Elite Eight.
All right, before I got to listen to you pick Houston over a Big East team, though, like...
I'm not.
Excuse me. Go ahead.
I'm not. I'm picking Marquette. The way they played last year in the tournament, it almost looked like Kolick, Cam Jones, and those guys kind of really weren't ready. And the year before, my fifth year, they had lost to who'd they lose to? Carolina?
Yeah, UNC with Daryl Morsell and Kirk Webb.
Yeah. And Kolick wasn't really a guy. Cam Jones was younger. Oso wasn't really a guy on that team. Like, they played, but they weren't the guys. And I think last year, like, being relied on to be the guys is different. And I don't think they were ready, but I think you could kind of just tell in the whole way that they've been doing things the last 4 weeks. They weren't worried about getting Kolick back for the Big East. They wanted to be healthy for tournament run. And I think they can make a tournament run. I think they're going to get to Phoenix.
And we'll talk about this more with Purdue too, because I think the narrative might be the same. How much is it when you disappoint in March that you come back the next year? Like, it's almost seemed like Marquette has had their eyes set on the NCAA tournament, bigger goals than the Big East, bigger goals than anything else. Like, how much of that just weighs on you every day?
Yeah, I mean, like, it was the opposite for UConn, right? Like, those dudes were locked in. They wanted to win the Big East regular season. They wanted to win the Big East tournament after Marquette won both last year. And it would not surprise me if Marquette won a national championship. It just wouldn't surprise me with the guard play that they have, the way that Cam Jones can play, Kolick, obviously. And then obviously getting experience for those young guys. But like you said, like when you lose a tournament game, like you want to, especially when you kind of underachieved. I think they were mm-hmm. 2-7 game last year. It was the same thing last year. When you kind of underachieve, you want to get back and you want to be able to prove yourself right, like we belong here, and then prove to everybody else like this isn't a fluke.
I love it. And we got two Big East teams in the Final Four, one bracket left to go. This is the Midwest.
Purdue, I think, wins that game. I think this will be interesting. I like Will Wade, but I think Kansas will win once they get their guys healthy. I think they get back to a Sweet 16. I think Creighton wins. And then I think Tennessee wins. I think this is where it's going to be.
So can you make any rhyme or reason of why Purdue keeps losing in their biggest games? I mean, we just saw them lose to Wisconsin the other day.
I think it's going to be good for them. Hit a little bit of adversity before the tournament. I mean, sometimes it works out for teams where you lose. I think the year Nova won in 2016, they lost to Seton Hall in the Big East Championship. I think Isaiah Whitehead went crazy. And they always talked about it like that was the best thing for them because it gave them some hunger going into the tournament, some humbleness. Like, you get humbled. Like, it just is what it is. Like, they probably just got humbled. They're probably hungry now to get back to playing. And I think they'll make a run. It'll be interesting to see what Dickinson does if he's healthy with Edie, because I think he's played well against him in his career. when they play against each other when he was at Michigan. But I think the difference is going to be Purdue's guards. Like Braden Smith has been really good this year. Obviously a sophomore, Fletcher Loyer, sophomore. I think those guys kind of shit themselves last year when they got into a close game in the NCAA tournament. But now, second year, they looked a lot more comfortable when I watched them play this year. So I think Purdue will win that game. This is where I'm picking against the Big East.
All right.
Unfortunately, Dalton Connect is insane. He's been insane all year. It wouldn't surprise me if Creighton won, but fuck it. Put Creighton down.
Oh, love it.
Hey, pander to the Big East.
Yeah, put Creighton down. Put Creighton down. I
What do
think
you think Creighton's biggest weakness is? Like, what's their, if they're gonna get beat, how are they gonna get beat?
missing threes. If they miss threes, there's a chance they're gonna get fucked. Like we saw the other day, they missed a ton of shots against Providence, and Providence kind of just looked like they wanted it more, to be honest with you. But I think like an it's like I said with Purdue, like it could be the best thing for them. It could be something that they go into the tournament now with just like fresh mind, like, all right, we just lost, like let's go in and kind of go on a little run here. That's gonna be a really good game if those two meet up. A lot of older guys on the Tennessee side. Dalton Connect literally has been scoring like 30 every game, so he's been really fun to watch. But I think him and Shireman, that would be a really fun matchup. And then Trey Alexander's been good all year. And then obviously the big fella is tall. So we'll see what he can do.
My biggest concern in that game is Mississippi State when they beat Tennessee, what, 2 days ago. They just bullied the heck out of Dalton Connect, and Creighton is just not very physical. So that's the only worry I have going into that game. But if we, that's the biggest worry, and we're in the Elite Eight, I guess we, you know, we have different problems.
Yeah, hopefully they could just get hot at the right time. Like, Coach McDermott runs awesome shit, and like if they could just find a way to get hot, hopefully like Ashworth is probably the difference maker. Like he's got to play well, as the fourth guy for them, and then hopefully you get either Miller or Farabello to hit a couple threes, because they really only play like six or seven guys, right? Like. You got to be able to get one of those guys off the bench to give you a couple buckets, like threes. Farabella is a shooter. He could give you a couple big buckets. Miller, depending on the game, maybe. But yeah, they're going to be relied heavily on 3-point shooting, staying out of foul trouble, and like one guy playing really well for them. And then I think Purdue's, I don't think. I mean, I don't know with the big guy situation.
I mean,
I
there's
don't know.
not a lot of guys that are even close to Edie's height. Kalkbrenner, what, 7'2" to 7'5"?
I'm not a big fan of, I watched him live when they played Minnesota. Not a huge fan, but I think it all depends on how he gets officiated, and it depends on how their guards play. But I think if there was a year for Purdue to kind of break through, this is the year, which is just a weird year of college basketball where I think anybody could win, besides your three, four top teams, UConn, Purdue, Houston, and then an outlier probably.
Love it. All right, that leaves a final four of UConn versus Arizona and Marquette versus Purdue. Do you think about a UConn Arizona matchup?
I have UConn winning. Just, I think they have a way to make a game ugly. I think Arizona doesn't. Although they have some experience, I think UConn is just has more depth. Did it last year. And I think Marquette beats Purdue in a rematch of the, where were they at? Maui earlier in the year, where they lost. I think they beat them this year or beat them.
Yeah, they were.
And Marquette's gonna play UConn again.
So
Can
this
they
is a
break
rematch
through?
of the Big East tournament championship, and hopefully Kolek's healthy.
Oh, he'll be playing.
Where are you going?
It's hard to beat a team four times.
They said that when they beat them three times.
Yeah, but Kolek wasn't playing, so it
That's
doesn't really.
true.
He didn't play two of the games, right? He didn't play the second one in Marquette.
Yeah, he didn't play at Marquette.
Man.
Going
How
back.
fucking awesome would this shit be, right?
We'd be able to rub every committee's member noses right into it.
Bro, that would be so awesome if this was a champ national championship. Marquette.
Wow.
Yeah,
Mark.
I mean, like I don't know. There's just something about like the way how they've been acting, like the last week, 2 weeks, just like they're focused for literally this, the NCAA tournament. Like they weren't worried about the Big East championship. Obviously, it would have been great to win, but like when your best player's sitting out and like you know he could play if you needed him to, but they're really just waiting to get him fully healthy. I think they have the guys to do it. I think Shaka is a psycho. Like defensively, they have great offensive game plan with Kolek and Oso, and then Cam Jones a bucket. So it would just be cool to see Marquette play UConn and Natty. That'd be
Point
fun.
guard to point guard to point guard. What makes Tyler Kolek so special?
I mean, he's awesome in a pick and roll. I think he's gotten a lot better. He's expanded his game. Obviously, he shoots the three a lot better now. He's shooting off the dribble, catch and shoot. He really never did that. I mean, he did it last year a little bit, but not as much as he's doing it this year. And then the year before that, when I was still in school, he was kind of just a point guard, like kind of a facilitator. So to watch the growth of his game each year has been cool to watch. And, obviously, he took over the league last year, and then this year, who knows if he plays the last three, four games if he wins Player of the Year again. But yeah, I mean, I think he's just his growth. He's gotten a lot better throughout the years, and then he's just always under control. He just you kind of never see him rattled in a game. He's kind of always in control of the game. So I think that's the difference. For how they'll be in the tournament. Like last year, you kind of saw in the Michigan State game, he kind of got a little out of control and he looked a little rattled. I don't know. Did he have an injury last year?
Broke his thumb.
Yeah. So, like, that could have played a part in it last year, but it looked like he got a little rattled. And I think this year, like, there's nothing that you can do that he hasn't seen already. So, I don't know. I think guard play of him and Cam Jones can kind of get you through and then. They're just a tough physical team, so.
CG, how much does it mean to a team to have a guy like Stevie Mitchell on it? Who I know you love him. I mean, he just does everything on the floor. What does it mean to a team?
He's awesome, like awesome. And you could obviously tell he was hurting Big East Championship like that night. But like invaluable shit that he does on a basketball floor, like guard the best player. Offensive rebounds, create extra possessions, diving on the floor, taking charges. Like, and if you ask anybody on Marquette, you'd be like, oh, who's like our leader? Who's a guy that you can look to and just know that any given night, you know what you're getting out of that person? Like, they'll probably be like, oh, Stevie Mitchell. Like, you know what you're getting out of him every night. And you know he's like gonna guard everybody, do whatever it takes to win. I think he's one of the most important pieces to them. Just gives them energy every night, which is awesome.
Colin, we can't say thank you enough for coming on and doing this. We're gonna monitor your bracket very closely, make sure it's doing as well as it did last year. You were in the top 1%. I'm making that up. But no, we really do appreciate you coming on. We think of you as one of the authorities on the Big East. So appreciate you coming on. Appreciate you still, taking care of our conference. I don't think a lot of Big 12 alums are watching their conference after, so why the Big East is the best.
Yeah, man. Of course, no problem. Obviously, I love the Big East. I love rooting for the Big East, no matter if it's not Villanova. If Villanova was in it, it'd be a different story. But I want to see our team succeed and play well, obviously. So got great respect for every team in the Big East, and it's fun doing this stuff. It's fun rooting for the Big East and still staying in touch and doing this kind of stuff.
I appreciate you, brother. It means a lot, not just to us, but to all the fans and to the Big East players and everything, that it's such a tight-knit community. So thank you.
Sir, of course.